And this is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to Civic Matters. I'm David Fair, and every Monday we get together with the Executive Director of the Civ City Initiative in Ann Arbor for a conversation on your civic engagement opportunities. Mary Morgan is our partner in Civic Matters, and as a matter of interest, Mary, have you been able to keep cool as August seems to have arrived in June?
I have been able to keep cool. And you know, one thing that helps is I look at the city council agenda and they're already voting on road closures for the University of Michigan football games in the fall.
So you're gearing up for fall already before summer actually arrives. That's great.
Right.
Well, speaking of Ann Arbor City Council, it is going to meet tonight, and among the topics of conversation will be approving ballot language for a citizen-led proposal to designate the library lot as an urban park and civic center commons. Now, this comes at a very interesting time, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. The city has a purchase agreement with Core Spaces, a developer, to build a 17-story building on that site. Now, the deal has not closed, so the folks who are advocating for a, I think they're calling it an urban community commons and civic center commons and urban park. They believe that there is still time for this proposal that they put forward to actually be approved by voters or to be on the ballot in November. So that is going to move forward on parallel tracks, it looks like, at least for a while.
Yeah, and now it brings up so many interesting questions. If it has to appear on the ballot, which it will, apparently, then voters get a chance to decide. And if voters should approve that, now what happens to the deal with Core Spaces? Is that automatically null and void?
Well, I think that is a big question. Unfortunately, the city attorney does not, it's not his practice to weigh in publicly with legal opinions. So I'm not sure what the city's thinking is on this. You know, there could be litigation from either side, frankly. I think it's going to be something that we need to watch. And meanwhile, the developer's having a forum on Wednesday this week, 5:30 to 7 in the downtown library, to talk about design, to lay out the timetable that they have expectations of following, and to get feedback from the public. So I suspect that will be a very rambunctious meeting.
Yeah, that forum runs from 5:30 to 7, as you mentioned, at the downtown library in the multi-purpose room. Now, this is a development that would be 17 stories tall, would include a hotel, retail space, and apartments on the upper levels, and most likely would be very expensive. But again, Core Spaces wants the public to have an opportunity to learn what that is about and perhaps get behind it before going to the polls in November to determine that it should be either an urban park and civic center commons or the development. So it's going to be interesting this week to see if minds and hearts are changed.
I think that one of the arguments that advocates have in favor of this building is that of the $10 million purchase price, $5 million of that has been designated for the city's affordable housing fund. And there would also be a very small number of units designated as workforce housing within that complex. So they're looking at it as adding to the making some more affordability options in the city.
There is a lot to consider.
I really think it's a complicated issue, so I hope people start paying attention if they haven't already.
Civic Matters with Mary Morgan of the Civ City Initiative continues on 89.1 WEMU, and as we talk about among the issues we'll have to decide come November, there is a voter registration deadline less than a month away for the August primary elections, and Larry Kestenbaum, our county clerk, is clarifying a bit how the process works in Michigan with some historical content, and it's fascinating, isn't it?
It really is. Well, first I should mention July 9th. You may have already said that. July 9th is the deadline to vote in the August 7th primary. So people, if they're not registered, should do that. But I think one of the things that Larry Kestenbaum brings when he gives some historical context is that, you know, we get upset, and rightly so, I think, when we look at voting rights. But historically, we have been even worse. So he notes that previously, you know, in the 1800s, voter registration didn't even exist until the mid-1800s, and it was put in place apparently as a way to suppress the Irish from voting. So
how does that work?
Voter suppression is, well, I don't know, perhaps the Irish couldn't read, or I have no idea. So there was registration for about 100 years, and every election you had to register for. So it wasn't like today where you register and then you're good to go. Unless you move, you had to actually register, vote, and then all of those registration forms were thrown out.
And you had to register again. Yeah.
Right. So that was pretty onerous. That happened, was going on until the 1950s.
But it is interesting to note that voter suppression in one form or another has virtually always existed.
Right, which is not to argue that we should, be less vigilant. And, with the recent Supreme Court ruling on a case in Ohio where they have the nation's most aggressive form of purging the voter ranks, I think we need to be aware of that and constantly fight for better voting rights. But it is good to have this context.
Well, in other public meetings this week, among them, the University of Michigan Board of Regents will get together on Thursday, that is June 21st, and they're going to discuss university budget and potential changes to university tuition come the fall, correct?
That's right. Their June meeting is typically a big one. They're very tight-lipped about what's going to be in the budget and what they're going to plan for tuition until right before the meeting. This month, they're moving to a new location because, of course, their regular spot, the Michigan Union, is being renovated. So they're going to be at the clubhouse at the UM golf course on East Stadium.
Well, that's a nice locale.
It's a nice locale. They are going to provide some shuttle bus services because it is just more difficult to get to than it is on Central Campus for many people. So that meeting starts today. They don't publish their agenda until noon, right? So we'll be looking for that to see what tuition changes are in the works.
But again, that meeting is Thursday, June 21st, beginning at 3:00. And while we're on the subject of education, the Michigan Department of Education is looking for some public input on a rather controversial measure, some proposed changes to the K-12 social studies standards.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of reporting on this and a lot of activity on social media, but I think it's still worth highlighting. These standards have been controversial because they have stripped out some references to things like gay rights, Roe v. Wade, climate change, et cetera. There are a lot of people who are concerned about this.
Now, standards, it's kind of selective social studies, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that it's it's a legitimate concern, and I that's why I think that people should look for themselves at the proposal. Bridge Magazine did a great write up giving some context about this. There is one of the Republican gubernatorial candidates who's now a state senator, Patrick Kolbeck, has been active in trying to make some of these changes, so I think it's worth paying attention. The public feedback period ends on June 30th. There's an online form and there's some upcoming meetings. Unfortunately, none in the Washtenaw County area, but the State Board of Education is very likely to have public commentary at its August meeting on this issue, too, so it's a good time to kind of get ahead of what's happening.
Well, every once in a while, we have to take a look at the lighter side as well. And this is kind of some good news and just a kind of a tip. The Ann Arbor Farmers Market running full swing on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Now, for those who have attended, they know that vendors don't take credit cards. But there is an alternative, is there not, Mary Morgan?
Yes, and I just learned about this. It may have been in place for years, but I don't carry a lot of cash. And so when I'm at the market, if you go to the market office there, right during market hours, you can actually use your credit card to buy $5 wooden tokens. They're awfully cute. first of all. So that's an incentive. But then vendors will accept those tokens as cash. So it's a way for you to, if you don't have cash on hand and you still want to shop, it's a convenient way to do that. And I just think a little more people should know about it.
Yes, you should never deny yourself when you go to the farmer's market. It is always a great place to pick up that which you need. Mary Morgan, thank
Strawberry
you.
Strawberry season, too.
Oh, man. It's season for a lot of my favorites. So, it's always a good time down there. Thank you so much for the time today. I do appreciate it.
Have a great week.
That is Mary Morgan, and we will certainly look forward to our conversation with Mary next Monday. Mary is the executive director of the Civ City Initiative. Now, to find out all that Mary is up to and to sign up for the weekly Civ City newsletter, I invite you to head over to civcity.org. If you would like more information on all of today's topics, you can hit up our website at wemu.org. I'm David Fair, and it is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.